a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nightside, we're all friends here. The Nightside Project on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome to the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard. I've got Andy Farnsworth in here with me tonight. Alex Keery's away. And we're having a lot of fun. By the way, don't forget to call in on our mental health line, 801-575-7668. We've got Dr. Matt Woolley on the show tomorrow. We want to play a couple of voicemails for him from you. We're going to play them right on the air. So any questions that you've got, any concerns you've got in that mental health arena, call us 801-575-7668. Call now or when it's convenient for you here soon, and then we'll use it tomorrow. 801-575-7668. Call that number. Now,
Matt Woolley's good. I actually attended one of his lectures. It was really good.
Yes, very, very good. Very good guy. Super competent.
Really relatable, too. He understands and doesn't make you feel stupid for asking a question. And he really is good. I highly recommend you give him a look or listen.
So he's going to be on with us tomorrow. So it's going to be very, very cool. Now, 25 years ago, it was not very long ago, but it was also kind of a long
time. For us old people, it wasn't long ago.
Now, CNET is an online technology magazine. It wasn't always online. I think it started out in print. Didn't CNET start in print?
That even predates me. I didn't discover CNET until it was
on
Twitter.
You're not 25
years
old yet?
I'm 25 years old. I just didn't read it before then.
Oh, got it. So what they did is they put together this cool article looking back on the last 25 years of tech, and that caught our attention. We thought, holy cow.
Now, they're a little self-serving because they started at 95 because that's when CNET was founded.
Right. Well, it's 25 years ago, right? 1995 was 25 years ago.
Yes.
So, 1995, the very first browser company to launch an IPO was Netscape Communications.
The Netscape and Navigator. Do you remember that browser?
I do. Netscape Navigator didn't have the tower, the light tower, or was it the sail? What was their little icon?
Netscape, it was the N with the little, it was like the lighthouse.
The lighthouse. That's what I was thinking.
Okay.
The lighthouse. anyway, 1995 was also the year in which Amazon opened its online bookstore. Also, eBay and Craigslist all went online in 1995.
But nobody was online back then. Of the common folk. Let me rephrase that. Common folk.
We wouldn't go online for another little while. In fact, I remember back in the day, I can sum up the conversation around the internet. So 9 out of 10 conversations about the internet went like this. Maybe you remember this. Oh, wow. Have you heard about the internet? Yeah, that's that thing where you can find any information you want. You can even learn how to build a bomb.
That's how the conversation went with you? Who were you hanging out with?
This is what people are always bringing up. Politicians, oh, yeah, kids can even learn how to build bombs. It's a big problem. Parents, oh, yeah, well, I don't know if I want my kids to be on the internet because I heard you can even learn how to build a bomb on the internet. It's a big, big problem.
Now, I will say this.
Now it's quaint. Now it's like, oh, man, I wish my kids were looking up. I pray my kids are looking up how to build bombs.
I was out of the country in 95 and 96. I was serving a mission in Brazil. So when I left, I remember hearing news stories about the information superhighway. Never clicked in my brain. I didn't really care. Didn't even know what that was. Turns out that was the internet. The word internet I heard the first time. The information superhighway, right? And then the first time I heard the term internet, I was in Brazil. And I actually got a letter from my dad. I mean, I heard that you could look up things, and my first thought was I could look up sports scores that I'm completely deprived of down here.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad sent me a letter, and in it he put an email address. And he said, hey, if you ever, you know, we have an email address now. If you ever get a chance, maybe you could send an email. And I was just like, oh, okay. I just sort of put the letter away. Well, then I got and ended up serving in the office as a finance secretary. And we started using the computer. And I'd had, you know, limited computer experience in high school. A lot of what I used was for like WordPerfect. You'd type a document.
Right.
Using any computing test, didn't really have a lot of. Any rate, start using this group-wise interoffice email. I didn't know that's what it was at the time. I just knew I could type a message and a guy in another city would get it. And then they said, here you go. This is 96. We got a message from the church headquarters in Brazil that said, if you want to send an email, type the word internet colon and the email address in the to field. And I was like, really? Now, wow. At the time, it was 2 weeks for a letter to get home and then 2 weeks for a reply. So it was about a month to get any kind of dialogue. So it's funny in retrospect, we all sat there in the office, the other missionaries and me were like, so does this cost money? Is it like a long distance call? Because as you know, this is what the internet sounded like back in the day. Well, maybe I won't be able to play it for you here.
Squeer.
Are you going to play the beeping?
Here we go.
Yeah.
This was the internet.
Yeah.
Kids have no idea this was the internet. And it tied up your phone line for hours. And if you were on the internet, I actually remember having my message on my home phone. We're either not here or we're on the internet. So please leave a message. And any rate, so I send this thing. I was like, oh, well, I'll give it a shot. Internet, foreigns at Yahoo. I think it was Yahoo.com. It might have been Microsoft.com. I don't know. Leave the message, go home, go to bed. Come back the next day, turn on the computer, and there's a reply. And I was just like, oh, my gosh, this changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was almost dizzying to think that I could get a reply within just a few hours. And back then it was still an hour or two because it took the time to get there. And then my family had to log on in order to get the email.
Yeah.
But it suddenly shrank the world. It literally shrank the world in that moment. And I will never forget that.
You know what else came out in 1996 aside from you as an email user?
I was one of the first missionaries, by the way, in the church to send an email.
You're a trailblazer, man.
Woohoo!
You were a pioneer.
I really was an ignorant pioneer, but a pioneer.
Good for you, man.
So what else came out that year?
In 1996, what was my very, very first tech want? I never really wanted computers, and I still don't. I don't really have computers that I covet. But there was one phone. It's the only phone that I've ever really desperately wanted.
Okay.
And even now I see it and I think, boy, you know what? I'd use that still today. And that was the Motorola StarTAC phone.
It was a flip phone.
Do you remember that?
Oh, no. I didn't. The only cell phones I knew till I got one were those brick phones.
The StarTAC, the little StarTAC flip phone. I still to this day, I look at that and I say, you know what? I would rock a StarTAC phone.
You would still rock a StarTAC.
I would still do it.
Wow.
I thought they were
I will say, I'm looking at the picture of it right now. That would have stayed contemporary for probably 10, 11 full years.
Oh, yeah. We were still using those.
Pull out the antenna. You're pretty cool.
Now, let's scroll down. We want to hit literally everything they've got here.
Right.
Let's scroll down to...
Well, here's some other key things, though. I mean, you got Napster in about 2000, 2001.
Oh, you know what?
Downloading music.
iPod.
The iPod
in 2001.
Now, here's the thing about me and technology. Until probably 2010, I was at least one to two full generations behind on whatever technology was. We got a laptop. It was a floppy disk drive, and it weighed like 50 pounds, so it would cut off circulation to your legs.
Uh-huh.
We got that in like 1993, 94,
uh-huh.
And by then they actually had real laptops. We got an Atari. We never even got an Atari. We got Pong in 1988. So we were always way behind. But an iPod, that was my first, I got to have that thing because everybody else had it.
Did you get it?
I never got one until, well, I mean, I have one now, but I didn't ever have one when it was still the hip thing.
Well, and you don't need one now because your phone.
Your phone turns into that. Yeah, my first, yeah. I actually got a Nokia phone that I could load music on. I thought that was pretty cool. That was probably 2007, 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first iPhone, 2007. That was 13 years ago. How crazy is that? 10 years since the iPad debuted. What were some of those moments, or what was a moment for you, Ethan? Is there a moment for you where you said technology changes everything? We got a texture says they bought two new top-of-the-line IBM XT computers with 10-megabyte hard drives years ago. We heard there was a way to network them. We went down to Provo to a small strip industrial center to meet with a startup company called Novell. While there for a demo, the system crashed three times and had to be rebooted. We left there thinking, what a fly-by-night company. Wish I'd bought some stock.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow.
I just got called a boomer by our producer. Well,
but you're not a boomer.
Well, that's true. But I must be sounding super old at this point.
But see that. But see, you and I are part of a generation that didn't that we did not have this technology as children, but we have spent our entire adult lives with this technology. Which is different because, you know, the boomers, they didn't get the technology until much later in life, right?
That's true.
So everyone had to kind of retrain. You and I didn't have to retrain like that, but we also didn't grow up with it. So we grew up in an analog world, and we worked in a profession in a digital world. And we're a special generation.
I'm glad you brought that up. I actually have some more thoughts on that, but we got a break for the bottom of the hour for news and traffic. I want to talk a little bit more about that when we get back from news, traffic, and weather here on the Nightside Project on KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.